Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ, and I want to take this time to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We encourage you to listen each Sunday morning at this time as we open up the pages of God's wonderful Word. We also encourage you to check out our website, www.churchofchristatharrodsburg.com. You will find many valuable resources to aid you in your study of God's Word. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given our meeting times. We pray that you'll consider coming and worshiping with us. You will always be warmly received. Many lessons can be learned from the life of our Lord. In John chapter 13 and verse 15, we are told, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." While Jesus lived his life on this earth, he met different people under different circumstances and received different reactions to his work and his teaching. Yet in this life, one thing is apparent. No matter how men treated Christ, he never changed his attitude towards them. What kind of attitude did he have? What kind of mind did he have? Well, I don't think we have to wonder about that because the scripture plainly tells us. When we talk about the mind, we're talking about that which man reasons with. The mind is to think, to be minded in a certain way, speaking generally, the seat of the reflective consciousness, compromising the faculties of perception and understanding, and those of feeling, judging, and determining. Choice, intent, and will come from the mind. What my decisions to act are based upon is what's in my mind. What can one learn considering the mind of Christ? Let us turn to Paul's letter to the Philippians in chapter 2, and let us read verses 1 through 5, and we will have some insight to answer our question. "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love of one accord, and of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only out for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." In these five verses, the attitude of the Lord's mind is clearly developed for us. Let's look at these 6 points and see what we can learn. First of all, we must have a willing mind. Jesus was willing to go to the cross, although he was innocent, according to Luke 22, verse 42. He was willing to do his Father's will. He came to do his Father's will, according to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Christ left his home in heaven for us. In John 17, 4 through 8, when he was about finished with his work, when the last conversation with his disciples, he told the Father that he had finished the work that God had sent him to do. Whatever the price, he would pay the price to accomplish his duty, to do the Father's will. Excuse me. Can we say the same? Do we have a willing mind to do the work the Lord has given us to do? He also, according to these passages, had a loving mind. He loved the church enough that he died for, according to Acts 20, verse 28, and Ephesians 5, verse 25. He loved his enemies and taught us to do the same in Matthew 5, 44 and 45. He even forgave and offered a prayer of forgiveness for those who were crucifying him in Luke 23, verse 34. He loved his people even though they rejected him for the most part. Even though he wanted to help Jerusalem as a chick shelters her chicks under her wings, they were not willing to let him, according to Matthew 23, verse 37. And he came into his own, and his own received him not, according to John 1, verse 11. Willing to take man's sin upon himself, for he loved them. He came to seek and save the lost, Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Yes, every aspect of God's life of his Son can be seen in the love that he displayed for others. He had a mind to work. In Luke chapter 2, he was found in the temple talking with the teachers, for he said, I must be about my father's business in verse 49. He said that he had to work, for the night was coming when no man could work in John 9 and verse 4. Jesus had work to do. He knew his time was limited. He went about to finish that work. He did not let men and their circumstances, their discouragement, their rejection, or how they worried him, stop him from doing what he knew he had to do. What about you? Do you have a mind to work? Is your mind focused on the spiritual responsibilities you have to God? Do you have a mind that is willing to put your shoulder to the work and do the things that God would have you to do to influence others in the world to live for Him? He also had a praying mind. No one prayed as much as our Lord did. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 23, in Luke chapter 5, verse 16, and also in the garden in Matthew 26, verse 42, and prior to going to the cross in John chapter 17, beginning in verse 1. He prayed for strength. He prayed for his disciples. He prayed for the task that was set before him on the cross. He prayed for his enemies. He prayed that God's will would be done in everything that he did. Why? Prayer brought strength. Prayer brought peace of mind. Prayer helped prepare him and give him strength for the things that he knew that he had to do. Yes, a praying mind. Jesus made the statement himself, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? What good does it do a man to pray if he's not going to do the things that God calls upon him to do? Yes, we need to have a praying mind if we're going to be like Christ. That's why 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 says, to pray without ceasing. We also need to have a humble mind. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 8, the writer continues to demonstrate the humility that God's Son had in leaving heaven and taking on the form and fashion and the likeness of man, that he submit himself to death, even the death upon the cross. He humbled himself to take on the form and the fashion of man, to become a servant, to help men, to guide men, to lead men to him, for the hope of gaining them to his Father. Though he was God's Son, he always showed humility towards others. Why? Because he loved them. He had a humble mind. He was a servant. And when he washed the disciples' feet in John chapter 13, he was instructing them, unless they developed the servant's heart, they would never be effective in the kingdom of God. What about you, my friend? Do you have a humble mind? Will you submit your life to God? Will you humble yourself before Him? Will you prepare yourself to show humility towards others by doing things that would lead them to Christ, that would encourage them to follow the Lord, to conform His life, their lives to His will, and to walk in His path? Do you have that kind of mind that you will submit yourself under Him and let His will become your will? This is a must if you're going to have a servant's heart. And last but not least, our Lord always demonstrated and gave us an example of an obedient mind. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8 and 9, it says that He is the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey Him. In John chapter 19, when His life was just about over on earth, and He was hanging on that cross between heaven and earth for 6 hours, and the time was about up, in John chapter 19 and verse 30, He uttered these words, "It is finished." The work that God had sent Him to do, all the things that He could do to help mankind, had now been accomplished. In His prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, He had told the Father that He had finished the work that He had sent Him to do in John chapter 17 and verse 4. He had done the Father's will to the umpteenth degree and in every way that He could to demonstrate to mankind what it was to have a servant's heart and to be obedient in the face of all obstacles, and even when it wasn't convenient, and even when man opposed Him, and even when the majority rejected Him, and when many denied that He was the Son, even though He gave credentials that no other man had. Read Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. Look at the miracles that He did, and yet men still rejected Him. But till the end. Till the end. Jesus had an obedient mind. Now, what about you, dear listener? Do you have these qualities in your life? If we're going to follow the example that God set for us by sending His Son, and if we're going to follow the example that His Son set for us while He was on earth, we're going to have a willing mind, a mind that is willing to do God's will, a mind that is willing to submit His life, to make God's life and His ways their way. We're going to have a loving mind, a mind that loves our fellow man, that loves God, that loves what God loves, and to demonstrate that love, not in talk, not in speech, but in action, by how we treat and what we do unto others. But you must have a mind to work. You must be willing to do your part. You must be willing to do the things that you can, and to conform your life to His teaching and to His will. Idleness and laziness is not compatible with Christianity. We are people who work, and our time is limited too, because we don't know when the Lord will come back, nor do we know when we may depart this life. And until that time, will the Lord find us working? Will He find us watching and doing when He comes again? Do you have a praying mind? Do you meditate, and do you call and communicate with your Father in heaven through the Son? Do you pray to Him? Do you ask Him for strength? Do you ask Him for wisdom? Do you ask Him for guidance? And then when you receive it by a study and a meditation upon His Word, do you follow it? Do you cast your care upon Him because you know that He cares for you, according to 1 Peter 5 and verse 7? Do you pray constantly? Is it part of your life? Do you have a humble mind? Have you submitted your life unto God? Had you humbled yourself to know that the world is not just about you, that you're not the most important person? Are you a servant of others? Have you humbled yourself to put yourself in a position that you can serve and help others as you strive to influence them to live for Christ? And last but not least, dear listener, do you have an obedient mind? Are you willing to obey the things that God calls upon you to do? Have you obeyed all the things that are contained in His Word in order to be a faithful servant? In order to please God, we must do the Father's will. The Lord Himself said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Obedience, it has been something that God has demanded of men throughout the beginning of time, all the way back to Adam. Adam and Eve were commanded to obey God. They were given a choice. They made the wrong one. And all through time, men have been given the responsibility and duty by God to be obedient. But obedience starts in the mind. Unless one submits his will to God's will, he can never become obedient from the heart to the things that God would have him to do in order to please Him, in order to lead others to the cross, where they could be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Dear listener, do you have such a mind? And are you developing that mind to follow those points that we made this morning? If not, why not start today? Please come and worship with us, and let us love God and love His ways. Thank you.